Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Richard Lear. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan, WFAN.
And hello there, everybody, and good morning to you. Richard Lear in for Boomer and Geo on this Memorial Day morning. As we plow forward until 10 o'clock, and boy, do we have a lot to talk about from what happened last night. The Knicks clawing and scratching for their very playoff lives in a game that certainly was crucial to the continuation of the New York basketball season. And then you got the Mets in a game that seemed like life or death, like a playoff game, like almost a World Series game. And again, not a whole lot on the line except, well, we can beat these guys, pride, you know, and we know about the regular season and what that means in terms of postseason stuff, and postseason's October, so still 3 or 4 months away from that, but it seemed like real important. And the Yankees with a series in Colorado that you say, okay, dog, win, 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 and they take 2 out of 3. Hanging on by their fingernails in the final game. But all is well. The Yankees have a nice lead in the AL East. The Mets pick up a game on the Phils by their win. So right now, New York baseball is in a pretty healthy state. But let's focus a little bit on the basketball. And, you know, one reason you got to love the Knicks, if you are a basketball fan in New York, is the selflessness of this team. You know, there are teams, players who are clearly selfish. But when you've got a Josh Hart who goes to Tibbs and says, look, maybe me starting isn't the best potential lineup. Would you consider having me on the bench to start, putting Mitchell in and see how that works? And Thibodeau, for all, you know, people have pointed out, oh, this, he does that. He was flexible. He said, you know what? Okay, let's try it. And sometimes you're down 2-0 in a series. You've lost your two home games. You blew a big lead in game one. You know, you throw something against the wall and see if it works. Now, it really didn't work in the sense that the Knicks were down by 20 in the first half. So you can't say that that lineup change mattered then. However, in the second half, he comes back, Hart comes back, and gives him some key stops, some key buckets and rebounds. And Karl-Anthony Towns, the guy that they brought in to be maybe the missing piece, plays very, very well and gets them to where they want to be. So the Knicks win in a game that they trailed most of the game. I mean, they were down 15 points in the third quarter, and I'm going, oh, boy, well. And you know, we're watching the game, and Vicky's going, oh, God, they're dead. And I said, don't forget, they came back against the Celtics. Big, big leads were dissipated very quickly. And sure enough, they start pecking away. It's 11 points, 9 points, 8 points, down to 3. And for whatever reason, whether it was increased Knicks defense, whether the Pacers were like, hey, we're going to be up 3-0 and celebrating early. And again, this is subconscious. No team and no coach will say, hey, you got this one in the bag, guys. Take your foot off the gas. No. But subconsciously, it does happen when teams amass big leads. You see it happen all the time in every sport. So for whatever reason, Knicks tightened up the defense. Pressure, pressure, pressure. And they win. And it wasn't decided until the last few seconds. You know, it was only a 2-point lead with like 9 to go. But they come back and they get the thing done. And who knows what's going to happen in the next game. The Pacers may have just gotten a cold splash of water in their face and go, okay, guys, we got to finish these things. It's not enough to get 20-point leads in the first half of the game. You got to get it done in the end. But the Knicks showed character. And the interesting thing about the cliches we apply and the roles that we apply, Thibodeau said, look, everybody thinks I want low-scoring games. That's what I'm after. I'm a defense-first guy. And he says, you know what? Throw that out the window. I don't care. What I want is to finish 1 point ahead of my opponent, whether it's 90-89 or 130-129. That's what I want. And that's what he got last night. He got a win. So the Knicks continue. They live. We have more basketball to look forward to in New York. To the baseball. I don't mean to dismiss the Yankee game at all, but it's in Colorado. Rain delay. It's just one of those things. But the thing that I think you got to look at is Ascara, backup catcher, was basically the offensive star of the game. And we look at Judge and we look at, you know, the big guys, Goldschmidt now at this point, and you say, Bellinger, these are the guys that have to win for you. And they're the guys that put up the big numbers. But in the end, man, you have to get contributions from everybody. And I think in the past, one of the things that the Yankees have done, and Yankee fans are guilty of this, is you look at the team and you go, oh, God, left field. I don't know. I got a rookie in left field. Third base. They don't have a star at third base. Well, you open it up and let the kids play. And, you know, Ben Rice, great example. Ben Rice was a guy you thought, okay, in spurts you could be okay, but can he be a major league first baseman or catcher, or can he hit? He's got power, all that kind of stuff. And he's been in a limited role because they brought Goldschmidt in. And you can't bench him because he's been playing great. But you find places for Rice to play, and he's hit, 11 home runs? He's been terrific in a limited role. So you're getting to see some of the Yankee young players blossom in their roles and understanding their roles. And as much as Aaron Boone gets criticism, he's too easy on his players, he does this, he does that. You know, they're thriving. They're in first place. And really, again, projecting into October here, they should make the playoffs, should win the division. You know, you've seen Boston and their problems. Certainly Baltimore is not, there was a team with all those young players. They thought, they're going to be great for a decade. Well, they're in last place by a pretty big margin right now. So bottom line is Yankees, Detroit, well, those are the teams in the American League, and that's pretty much it. All right, you'll hear from Houston, you'll hear from Seattle some, but I think you have to be pretty confident if you're a Yankee fan that there is a pathway to the World Series. Doesn't mean that they're going to take advantage of it, but there is a pathway to get there. To the New York Metropolitan Baseball Club. Last night, and this is one of those conundrums that managers face, and this goes along with Tibbs and Josh Hart. You've got a guy in Alvarez who was 2 years ago considered to be the best prospect in all of Major League Baseball. He's a catcher. He's got a rifle arm. He frames pitches better than almost anybody. He handles pitchers well. He hits home runs. He hits power. He can hit over 250, which is all pretty much people ask now. This guy's got an unlimited future. Last year, took a big step back. And this year, gets hurt, and a trade that seemed inconsequential at the time to get Luis Torrens. Yankees didn't want him. Just tossed him to the Mets basically for money. And this guy has been terrific. He's thrown out more runners percentage-wise than just about anybody in Major League Baseball. And he hits situationally. When there are men on second and third, and he's up, ground ball to the right side, single, two-run score. He does things like that. Now, does he come through all the time? No, he hit into a double play on Friday night, and what could have been a game-winning hit. But he doesn't try to hit home runs every time up. And unfortunately, that's a bag that Alvarez has fallen into. He's got a big swing, big hit. And you started to see a little bit when he came back from the injury of him, you know, cutting down the swing, choking up, figuring out what two strikes, hey, got to get my pitch, not chasing, more plate discipline. And it has regressed to the mean. And we're going to have Keith Hernandez on later on. He'll be talking about things like this. You know, remaking swings. And a lot of times, you know, you remake it, and then you go through a dry period where things aren't working, and you go back to your old swing and your old habits. Now, sometimes that's beneficial. Sometimes, hey, this is where I feel natural. This is what I like, as opposed to, hey, I gotta keep my elbow in, hold the bat lower, all this other stuff, paralysis by analysis, and you just let it flow. And hitters respond differently to different situations. They tinker. You know, Jeff O'Neill is famous for tinkering with his swing. And, you know, a lot of times that just doesn't work. It causes inconsistent streakiness. You know, the best way is to say, this is what I am, this is who I am. And, yeah, I have to make minor adjustments when they figure out that I can't hit the high inside pitch. I got to figure out how to do that or to lay off it. But it's complicated. It's a cat and mouse game. Not telling anything you probably don't already know, but it's a game of continual adjustments. Keith Hernandez will be joining us later on in the program, and then we'll close out things today with Bob Costas, who is no longer doing play-by-play baseball. I want to talk to him particularly about sports journalism and where it has gone and what we care about these days. Do we care about players as people? Do we look at them as robots, as automatons, as cyborgs who aren't really people, but they're just, you know, watching the game last night, Vicky is going like, you know, Otani looks like an android. You know, he's got kind of a blank look. He's got this, you know, incredible presence and the way he holds the bat and everything else, that he just looks otherworldly. And obviously his performance on the field is otherworldly. Second pitch of the game, Kodai Senga throws him, you know, a meatball, I guess. I mean, it was a fastball. It didn't do much. And I have never seen a ball in right field go out of Citi Field like that. I mean, I don't know what the velocity was, probably over 115 miles per hour for whatever that is. But it hits the facing of the second deck past the bullpens. And that's one of those balls that, had it not hit that, just could have gone on and on and on and on. And, you know, it's one of those things where he's got this incredible torque on his swings. I don't know how he manages to do it, but boy, does he have velocity. And, you know, you can get him out. They got to, you know, Senga got his revenge the next at bat. He struck him out after the damage was done. But he puts the Mets in a huge hole, 1-0 after two pitches. And you thought, okay, here you go again. And then Vientos does not make a play at third base. And I'll tell you what, and I'm not the only one saying this, Mr. Vientos is very shaky ground when it comes to playing third base on a regular basis. Beatty is playing much better defense. There is no comparison. Beatty is making plays that Vientos doesn't make. And the big question was, can Beatty hit major league pitching? And he started to show that, yes, he can. So I think you're at a point now that they're saying, all right, we're going to give Beatty some time. We'll give Vientos some time. We'll keep them both going. And Vientos has probably more power than Beatty on a consistent level. You know, will Beatty be a 20 home run guy eventually if things pan out? Could be. And it could be that Vientos is a 35 home run guy. But defense is a huge part of this, and Vientos is on his way to being a DH. You know, that's the path he's on. And the thing I like about Mendoza is that he's not afraid to just take, Alvarez, you're the catcher. No, we're going to split time. And if you start to perform well, you're going to get more time. Same thing with Vientos. And same thing with Beatty. You know, there's nothing written in stone here. You perform, you play. And it's very much like Thibodeau, you know, with Hart and everybody else. That flexibility of saying, hey, there's nothing, nobody, yes, Soto is going to be the right fielder. He'll struggle, but with the investment they've got in him, he's going to be playing right field. That's pretty much written in stone. But otherwise, center field, could be Taylor one day, could be McNeil one day. Never know who's going to be playing. You know, we've forgotten about Siri, who will be back at some point, maybe, you know, if they can wedge him in somehow. And a quick note on Taylor, and then we'll take a break and we'll move on and we'll take your calls. Taylor last night, now it's hard to say in the first inning that a play turns the momentum of the game and wins the game for you. But you had second and third, one out. And there's a screeching, or no outs, actually. And there's a screeching line drive to right field. Taylor catches it on the run, and you think, okay, there's no way he's going to be able to make a throw from that position, from a running catch. He somehow contorts his body to get his momentum going toward home plate. Perfect throw. Torrens is there. The runner is safe. Oh, geez, that's too bad. Incredible play, didn't work. Wait a minute. Dozo holds up his hand. They take a look on the replay, and sure enough, foot is up. Torrens has the tag. The runner is out. Senga gets the next guy out, and he amazingly dances through the raindrops and gets out of that first inning, giving up only the Ohtani home run. Bottom of the inning, after a drought of 65 at-bats, Mr. Alonso parks one, just no doubter. Home run, they're up 2-1. Score one more run, they nurse that lead, the bullpen is terrific. Senga, you know, I think we've got Senga's MO now. He allows a lot of base runners, but when it gets down to it, he gets guys out. When he needs to, he'll get guys in second, third, no outs, and he'll get a strikeout, he'll get a pop out. He somehow manages to wiggle out of it. He is a very resourceful pitcher. Even when he doesn't have his best stuff, he's smart. He figures a way to get out. That's a great thing. Okay, lots of other stuff to talk about. Knicks, Yanks, Mets, whatever is on your mind. We're coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio. Telephone number is 888-808-1019. Brian Riscona at the controls. We'll be right back with your calls next.